When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, her best friend's house was very haunted. Were the former owners just unable to say goodbye to their home?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, do you have a real ghost story? Share it. You can call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, you get advanced episodes, you get access to the complete archive, no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts and you can try it there 3 days free. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and a big hello to my sister, Kathy Gordon.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm good today.
You know, this best friend's house being haunted, I think begs the question, what's proper etiquette when you go to visit someone and you're scared at their house?
I know.
It's like, awkward. Do you say, because you go there and usually we just kind of try to get through it and get out of there and go, whew, that's good. What if they invite you back?
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like one time, I have a friend here who was living in this house. He no longer lives in that house, but he asked me to cat sit for him. And I said, yeah, sure. You know, he and his wife were going to be gone. And so I was like, yeah, no problem. I'll go do it. And so I'd never been in the house before. he gave me all the instructions and everything. I step in that house and I am totally creeped out. Like totally, it's an older house. I would say it was built early 1900s, maybe. And I am beside myself with, it had a really bad feeling just stepping into it. And so now I'm trying to go through the house and find these cats to make sure that they're all okay. And
which is really hard.
And trying to take just steps in that house really was horrible. And so every time I'd have to go over there, I'm like, God, I just can barely do this, but I'm got to take care of these cats, right? And so thank goodness he never asked me again in that house. I did it a couple times in his new house, but it's a weird etiquette thing. Like I never said to him, Jesus Christ, how do you live in this house, right? Like I couldn't even understand how he could live there.
Did you ever ask him or have a conversation about, is your house haunted AF?
Like he moved to a new place and I never said to him, how in the world did you live in that house? You know, I don't get it. And maybe he just is not sensitive, doesn't feel anything, whatever. I let it go. But I guess my question is, etiquette-wise, I think had he asked me to watch the cats again in that house, I would have had to say no.
I am so busy that weekend with
things. I would have made up a story.
I have so many things.
I would have said, you know, I'm sorry, but I am super sensitive and you have some really effed up shit going on in your house. Because it was an ugly, dark feeling.
Ooh, I hate that so much.
You know, and you just felt walking through that house like somebody was watching you the whole time. And I was like, God, and every time I think I have to go over there, I just dread it, you know.
And this story kind of reminds me of when we were kids and why the kids didn't want to come to our house. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what it reminds me of, because it was the childhood home.
Okay.
So it says, I wanted to share a couple of stories about a friend of mine's childhood home. I grew up in upstate New York in a small town named Manlius. I hope I said that correctly. I became very close with a friend during 7th and 8th grade, and we would frequently get together at her house. The first two stories I would like to share are instances that happened to my friend while she was growing up in this house. My friend and her older sister would frequently be home alone after school because her parents worked until early evening. My friend was sitting in the living room while her sister was upstairs in her bedroom. My friend heard her mother yell to her father, "Honey, can you help me with something down here?" To which her father replied, "Sure." But the girls were home alone. She said the voices mimicked their parents' voices perfectly. Her parents came home from work 2 hours later. Isn't that crazy? I would hate that so much. The second story revolves around the two rooms in their house with the most activity, the living room and the kitchen. The kitchen was set up so that if you were washing dishes in the sink, to your immediate left was an open doorway that was the entrance to the adjacent living room. Often when my friend's parents were cleaning up the kitchen, they would see a man in formal black attire and a top hat pass by the doorway in the living room. Makes me think Abe Lincoln's walking by. The problem is that once you walk through the doorway into the living room, there's a computer desk and a wall. Definitely no room for someone to walk past. The kitchen sink has a window in front of it that looks out onto the backyard. My friend and her sister were playing outside one day on the swing set. It was a joke with their mom that as they were swinging, they would often wave goofily to their mother repeatedly while she was standing at the kitchen sink inside. There's also a large sliding glass door immediately next to the kitchen sink window through which you can see the dining table. After swinging for about 20 minutes, the girls waved to their mom who was washing dishes at the sink. Their mom waved back. My friend said that her mom looked weird as she waved, almost like she was sad about something. She also said she didn't look real. She almost looked transparent. Immediately after waving to their mom through the kitchen window, the girls looked to the left at the sliding glass door and they saw their mom sitting at the dining table waving back to them. They looked back at the kitchen window again. Their mom was still washing dishes. They looked back at the dining table. She was still there. How was their mom in two places at once? After about 10 seconds, the image of their mom at the sink disappeared. I'm not sure why a ghost would frequently impersonate a family member, either by sounding like them or appearing like them. I have heard that demons sometimes enjoy impersonating people to mess with the living, but the house environment never felt ominous or intimidating. It was just strange. The last story I'd like to share happened to me in that house. My friend had about four girls over for a sleepover for her birthday, including myself. Because the house was small, we slept in the basement where they had a TV and VCR so we could watch movies. The format of the basement is a little tricky, so I will do my best to describe it. It is essentially one large room divided in half by the staircase leading down into the basement. Once you reach the bottom of the staircase, to the right is the area where the TV was set up and where we were sleeping. To the left is the basement's unfinished part with exposed beams and pipes, a washer and dryer. The base of the stairwell had drywall, so you could not see through to the other side of the basement unless you were looking over the handrail. Because we were younger and probably still afraid to be in the dark, we left a light on in the unfinished basement while we slept. The drywall and stairwell blocked the view of the unfinished part of the basement, but the light that we left on projected a block of light onto the basement wall next to me. I inexplicably woke up during the early morning hours with a weird feeling in my gut. I got a little nervous because my friend's stories about her house, so I turned on the TV. After about 20 minutes, for some reason, I looked to my right at the light reflection cascading on the wall next to me. Now, this next part does not scientifically or physically make sense, which may be why this is so confusing to me today. As I was looking at the wall, a shadow of a man's head walked past the block of light. I only saw his head, as the block of light was at about shoulder level. This means that there was a man who walked across the unfinished part of the basement to create that reflection. Remember, I could not see into that side of the basement because the base of the staircase blocked my view. The man made no noise. As I lay there in shock, I processed what I had just seen. Was I dreaming? I remember seeing an outline of a man's facial profile as he walked from right to left across the block of light, which does not make sense. I remember seeing the outline of his ear, which doesn't add up if I was seeing the shadow of someone's profile. I also want to add that the basement only had the types of windows that were small and positioned at the top of the walls, as the basement was subterranean. I think I said that right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. They also only looked over the backyard, so car lights could not have been a factor. It was so confusing and scary. I kept the TV on and did not get back to sleep that night. I ended up moving away and lost touch with my friend, but I often wonder if her family still lives in that house and if they still experience these weird occurrences. My friend's other family members have seen a little girl in the master bedroom that seems to be wearing an all-white dress, similar to a flower girl or church-style dress. Unfortunately, I do not know the history of the house or the area of town, but I would be very interested in hearing why these experiences are so prevalent in this small suburban home. Maybe they are the former owners who just can't let their home go. That was from Jackie in Orlando. That's a creepy house. The one with the mom in two places at one time is super creepy to me.
Well, the thing that struck me about that was, the very first thing was that they heard this weird impersonation of their parents. And then
super
there's
creepy.
This weird impersonation visual of the mom. And so it's like, why is this entity taking on like the appearance or the sound of the parents? Because it's not necessarily asking them to do something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if you heard your mom say, Kathy, come in this room, you would get up and go in that room. Why did this, you know, maybe that entity was trying to entice you into doing something. But it was weird because mom says this, dad answers that. It's not asking the kids to do anything.
Is it just like effing with them?
I don't know. That's why I was like trying to figure that out, because if you're going to go to all this effort to impersonate and, you know, do that, why wouldn't it be that there would be a purpose to it? Like, I'm going to try to get them to do something, or, you know what I mean? And like, what's the point of it?
Exactly.
If you're just going to have dad answer mom. Like, I don't get the point. So then it's like,
maybe the point
is just
a
way that the spirit can communicate with them. It just wants their attention.
And maybe just wants to scare them. Because I would be scared. Because your parents' voices would be so natural. And you would hear that and you would be like, oh, mom and dad. Oh, crap. They're not even here.
Yeah.
That was weird. So that's almost like it's meant to scare you and disturb you and like almost like we're here.
Or just try to get your attention for some reason to communicate somehow. And that they think you would be more apt to communicate if it was in something that was familiar to you. You know, and that's why take on the appearance to look like mom. Maybe you're not quite so scared because you think it's mom. You know, it's weird. Yeah. That's why I just said, what is the purpose here? That's what I'm trying to figure out, is what is the ultimate goal of this impersonation other than just to get their attention?
Well, and you know? The shadow thing at the very end, you know, it's hard to say because maybe the dad snuck down there in the middle of the night and he was working on something. I don't know.
Just checking on them.
Yeah.
You know, I used to come down and just check on the kids to make sure everybody was okay and asleep. You know, I would come down in the night if we had sleepovers and just peek, make sure everybody looked like they were okay. You know, you didn't want anybody scared or anything in the night.
Yeah. So maybe that's all that was. I don't know, but it would be scary to me, especially knowing the history of the house. But they also did see the man in the top hat walking around in formal attire. How random.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think what we need in this whole story is some background on the house, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we need some history here to understand this better. We got this little girl that appears to be in maybe a confirmation dress or some sort of, you know, first communion dress or something like that. And then this man in this top hat. I guess my question is this house that old?
Yeah.
Was it newer, built on land where they tore down an old house? Or, you know, it'd just be kind of interesting to see if you could do a little bit of digging to find out more history about it.
And I don't think she ever will, because now her and her friend haven't stayed in touch.
Yeah.
But I also get like why I would wake up in the middle of the night and hear and see that and be totally freaked out knowing the other stories.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got a caller.
Good morning. My name is Ivan, and I'm from Philadelphia. And I've had a series of things happen to me throughout my life, but I was just calling today about the house that we used to live in Chester, Pennsylvania. It was a three-bedroom house. I guess it was built around 1930s, 1940s. Average house, but the basement was like the creepiest thing. My brother and my sister would sometimes go down in that basement, and we never liked going down there. We felt like there was a presence down there, something that would press on you or push you, not really physically push you, but we just felt like there was something around us at all times when we went down in that basement. It got to the point that if you wanted something from the basement, you would memorize where it was at, and then you would hurry up and you would run down there and you would grab it and you would run back up. Well, this basement was split in half. Half was concrete, but it was old and dilapidated. That was at the beginning of the house. And then the latter part of the basement, in the back, it was a little wall, a little retaining wall, and then in the back was all dirt. And there was a mound of dirt back there that was about, I don't know, I'd say maybe 5-6 feet long. And it used to look like a grave. And we always thought that it was, or that we thought maybe something was buried. Somebody was buried in there. We don't know. We never actually found out, but it used to give us the creeps. And we never liked that basement. As a matter of fact, we even came up with a name for the thing that was down there. We used to call it Oompa. Don't ask me why, but that was the name that we came up with. And we would say, don't go down in the basement because Oompa's going to get you. And so that was like the creepiest part of the house. And then I just wanted to share the one day that I was knocked out in my room sleeping. I used to sleep on the second floor. My bedroom was top of the steps to the left. And my niece had come through the door looking for me. And she said she looked up at the top of the steps. And she seen what looked like a person. She thought it was me. And she said, hey, Uncle Ivan, does that whatever it was looked at her and then walked into my room. So she thought that maybe I didn't hear her. So she proceeded to walk up the steps and come into my room. And when she came into my room, I was knocked out. I was sleeping. She said she immediately got the creeps, turned around, and she ran out of the house. I didn't see her for about a week. And it wasn't until I did see her again that she told me what had happened. And I told her, like, wow, you're just going to see something walk in my room, and you're not even going to wake me up and tell me? But, yeah, that was the house that we used to live at in Chester. That was the story of Oompa, who used to live in that basement. To this day, I don't know if that house still stands, but I don't know what was in that basement. But there was definitely something there. Well, anyway, thank you for listening. And if you decide to play this, that's fine. And if you don't, it's all well and good. But, again, thank you very much.
Boy, that's another one I can relate to, that running up the stairs like when we were kids and you had to go upstairs during the day or at night and you knew nobody was up there. And you'd run up there really fast and you'd get what you had to get and then you'd run back downstairs.
You know, he used a really good analogy with that. He said, like, we would memorize where things were. And I think... I don't know that I memorized, but I would envision where it was before I had to go. Like, okay, I went this thing. I have to run up the stairs, hang a right. It's right there. And then I can grab it and come right back down. Like, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, you charted out your pathway to get there so you could do it in the most efficient way and get out. You know, it was like recognizance or something, you know, like where you're going out on some sort of mission. You know?
And I kind of have a thing about basements, too. And I think a lot of people do. Like when I was living in the last house, I had a living room in the basement. And so that was just kind of my personal space. My bedroom was upstairs. But I couldn't go up the stairs without having a light on behind me. Like, I could not bring myself to turn off all the lights and go upstairs. So I was always leaving lights on in the basement because I couldn't do that. I'm old. Like, it's not like I'm a kid and I'm just afraid of the dark. There's something about it.
Well, and you know it's pretty intense when there's several of you or two or three of you or however many of you and you name it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where everybody, where it's become so, you know, part of your daily life that you've got to call it something. Mm-hmm. Like, that's horrifying. Like, we did it too. But you got to, oh, it's just Henry. You know, we just put a name on it. And I think we went with some sort of name that didn't seem scary to make more light of the situation.
Right.
If you could just say something cute, like, oh, it's Henry, you know. It didn't make it seem quite so frightening to us. But if you actually have to name something so everyone knows what we're talking about, because we're all having this, that's pretty bad.
might be time to find a new place. You know,
like when something is part of your house, like it's now it is part of the family. It's part of the house. We got to have a name for it, you know.
But we hear that all the time. You can't just
say the thing who must not be named, you know. Like not in Harry Potter. He must not be named, you know. Like you actually have to name it so that everybody's on board with the discussion. That's pretty bad.
But I think
what do you think about this mound in the basement business?
I don't, but you know, I like we've talked about it before. I lived in that one house with a mound of dirt in the basement and I just never thought anything about it.
And I guess they can maybe they dug so it's, you know, the pipes and they got to the pipes and then they just put some dirt over it and never really, I don't know. Maybe it's that, but it is super creepy.
I don't know why I lived in that house and it didn't bother me more. I think I just was like, oh, okay. There's a mound of dirt. I think
because you were 20 and having, I don't know.
No, I think like, I was a little busy. I was in college. And I went to college a little bit later in life, like 22. But yeah, I don't know why that didn't bother me. I was probably 25 or 26.
I think it would bother me. I think it would. And the other thing is, this is our second story today with the imposter thing. Didn't the niece say she saw him or thought it was him?
Uh-huh.
Go in there?
And then it didn't
have to make me laugh when he's like, what? You just let me sleep with some sort of entity coming in my room? Like, you didn't wake me up? Get me out of there?
You know, that's a good question. So say, like you're staying at my house. I got up to go get a drink of water, and on my way back, I saw an entity walk into this bedroom that I'm in right now, because it's a studio bedroom. And so if they walked in here, and then I'd be like, Kathy's just so sound asleep. I hate to wake her up and tell her there's an entity there. What do I do? I would wake you up.
I'm thinking I say, Carol, I just saw something you walk in your room. Get out of here right now.
I think I would be like, Kathy, because I'd want to like turn the light on in here and like.
Well, yeah, you want to save them.
Number one, you got to rule out serial killers.
Yeah.
Number
one, you rule out serial killer.
Because entity, or is there a serial killer in my house?
I need to make sure you're not getting murdered.
So I would have to turn the lights on and be like, hey, are you murdered?
Yeah, number one.
And then when you wake up,
have you been murdered?
Yay, it was just a demonic entity.
Right.
I don't know.
And maybe you'd rather sleep on the sofa.
Tonight.
I'm just throwing that out.
Go sleep on the sofa, and tomorrow we'll get some sage. It'll be all good.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just kind of creepy. And basement stories, two of them today.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a real ghost story and you would like to share it with us, we would absolutely love to hear it. Call 855-853-4802 or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. Sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free there. Or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.